Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's learn a little bit more. Rick Ballew on the River Islands guest line, been around doing radio for a long, long time, and he's on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM, the Jaguars flagship station out in Jacksonville. Hey, Rick, what's going on?
How you guys doing? How are things?
We'd be better if we had a healthy franchise quarterback, but we have Mac Jones.
You do, a Jacksonville native who went to Bama and first-round pick, played here a year ago. So you'll like Mac. He's a fun-loving guy. He's a good guy. I mean, I think San Francisco will play hard for him. I don't think that's the issue. I just whether or not he's productive is what it's going to be all about.
I said this yesterday, Rick, and every time somebody who's like done a deeper dive on Mac Jones or someone like yourself who's covered him for a period of time, when they describe him, they very much sound like they're selling me on a blind date who has a great personality. That's what everybody sounds like so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, his mistakes are plentiful. Let's be honest about that. He's very inconsistent, doesn't take care of the ball. He's got accuracy issues, but there are times he'll surprise you. You know, he can throw the ball. He can make a play. It's just not consistent. And, you know, he really got an opportunity here a year ago. He played basically the second half of the season when Trevor Lawrence went down. You look at his numbers, they're okay percentage-wise, but here's a way that I would define Mac Jones. He may be the best passer in the world if it's 3rd and 11 and he throws the football 4 yards.
Yeah, that's probably not great, and you're probably setting yourself up for a punt, so... He goes 2-5 last year, and Jacksonville goes 2-8 without him. Was it a Mac Jones problem, or was it more of a Jaguars and the coaching staff problem?
No, it was just awful around here. I mean, the worst play calling in the NFL. Press Taylor never should have called plays. I'll stay with if Doug Peterson called plays a year ago, this team would have won 7 or 8 football games. Jacksonville lost 10 games last year by 7 points or less. They couldn't run the ball. They had the softest offensive line in the NFL. And, you know, Christian Kirk went down. Gabe Davis went down. Evan Ingram went down. They lost top receivers and tight ends. So it was really everything that you could possibly ask for went wrong. It would have been different, I believe, if Mac Jones had an offensive line, had a running game, had all of his weapons healthy. I don't feel as though we got an accurate look at what Jones was able to do a season ago.
Rick, I'm interested to know your thoughts on kind of processing what you saw then and then how it fits in now. I know there's a lot of snap reacts I hear both locally and beyond that's like, oh, this is the Niners, though. And so with Kyle Shanahan calling plays and Christian McCaffrey behind him, this will be a lot better. There's no George Kittle. There's all kinds of problems with the receiving core. So are you expecting an elevated Mac or the same Mac?
Yeah, it's interesting when you ask that question. I think a lot of that comes down to whether or not they're able to run the football. Again, they weren't here, and he constantly found himself in catch-up mode, you know, coming from behind, down a possession, 2, sometimes 3, and basically Jacksonville became a one-dimensional football team. If San Francisco is able to remain balanced and defenses don't cheat, and you know, obviously they're on their heels because they're expecting a pass as opposed to getting up the line of scrimmage and defending the run, I think there's a possibility there that Mac Jones could be better. As you just pointed out, you got a better coaching staff, you got a better offensive line, you got a better running back. I know you're down a little bit at wide receiver, and certainly Kittle is a massive blow, but it's still a better team in San Francisco than what Mac Jones had a year ago when he got those opportunities.
At his best in Jacksonville, what was he really good at?
That's a very difficult question. It is. As I said, he's when it's third and 11. But it's third and 11, he's great with the four-yard pass. He is. He still is a talented guy. I just think he's a mistake-filled guy. And he's someone that, you're hoping to get some sort of consistency. We've seen some craziness in the league lately. You look at these quarterbacks like Sam Darnold and down the road here in Tampa with Baker Mayfield, guys getting second opportunities, Joe Flacco, and them evolving. I remember when they went out and got him, someone from the former regime, I had a nice conversation with them, and I was told that a year ago they believed Mac Jones could win games here in Duval if Trevor Lawrence went down, and it really didn't work out that way. It's hard for me to really pick a positive as far as him and what he does on the field. But I will tell you, as I said at the top, he's a very likable guy. He brings a lot of energy. He keeps everyone loose. I do think the guys are going to play hard for him around him. Now, if you start losing consistently until Purdy comes back, that could change. But I would at least expect that coming up this weekend for you.
Rick Ballew in Jacksonville with the Jags flagship station is with us here on 95.7 The Game. You know what I'm interested in, Rick, especially as someone who, let's say, maybe had a few shares in Brian Thomas Jr. in fantasy last year. That's a wide receiver one who really performed well with Mac Jones. Now, do you find that as a product of Mac was able to do some good things with that relationship, or was that just a rookie player kind of moving into the second half of his first year?
No, that's actually a great point, because there's been worrisome around here. It was not a good camp for Brian Thomas Jr. I rolled in here every day and talked about him dropping a pass. He dropped one, arguably two, on opening day here against Carolina, and you look at what happened. He caught one football and seven targets. Now, Trevor Lawrence missed him three times, but I'm glad you mentioned this, because the Mac Jones to Brian Thomas Jr. combination was better last year than the Trevorance to Brian Thomas Jr. relationship, and that's still evolving. If you look at what happened out here, you know, Dyami Brown, or they just, you know, brought over from Washington, and Travis Hunter, the rookie, and Parker Washington were all more consistent than Brian Thomas Jr. Throughout training camp. And again, you can make that case in week one. So, yeah, that is a good example. Yeah, that did work last year with Brian Thomas Jr. We were kidding about it the other day. They had a 14-point swing and lost on opening day at Miami a year ago. And they didn't even target – Trevor Lawrence didn't even target Brian Thomas Jr. in the second half of that game where they lost at Miami. So, yes, Mac definitely did have a better relationship, passing relationship, with Thomas Jr.
How much of the Mac Jones struggles are related to that bad offensive line and the fact that, really, Jacksonville couldn't run the ball last year when Mac came on, and it became much of a one-dimensional team?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, honestly, a ton. Obviously, you know, he had a running back at Bama. He didn't necessarily. They kind of went by committee in New England. But, I mean, defenses across the league knew that Jacksonville was not going to beat you with the run, because primarily just how bad that offensive line was. And, you know, you look at what they did around here. They brought in six new offensive linemen, two new tight ends, two new backs, two new wide receivers. They knew they needed to make a change, not to mention a new backup quarterback. But that's fair. You know, as I said earlier, it would have been nice to see Mac Jones with all of the starters out there. He didn't get that. He got guys who were beaten up, coming off injuries, and some backups. And again, it was a combination of a bad offensive line, no rushing attack, and just really predictable, awful play calling. I mean, the same screen time after time after time. Folks around here can't believe what they're seeing with William Cohen and his motion and, you know, his advanced screen game, which is just out of this world compared to the way it was the last 3 years with Doug Peterson and Press Taylor.
By the way, just since you brought up his name, has Liam Cohen gotten over that whole opening press conference Duval thing that he did last year, that viral video?
Yeah.
Is everybody over it now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, that exploded. But on his initial presser, what I loved about him most is he really talked about the offensive line. And, you know, Tony Boselli, who I've worked with forever, I started doing the Tony Boselli show with him back in 1995, obviously was a big part of that. So you know what it's like. You're not going to go far in this league if you don't have a good offensive line. And Jacksonville was poor a year ago. But, yeah, Cohen will be remembered for the Duval chant. But the best part of that press conference for me was him identifying the fact that they have to fix that offensive line.
Rick Ballew, Jaguars flagship station in Jacksonville, with us here on Willard and Dibs. Rick, you've mentioned a couple of times the mistakes are plentiful. I'd love to dig into what kind of mistakes are we talking about. All coaches hate turnovers. Kyle Shanahan really, 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 really hates turnovers. So is it a turnover problem? Is it an accuracy problem? A presence problem? What do you think?
Well, he doesn't take care of the ball. He hasn't. And, you know, I don't know if you agree or not, but I think everyone is going to throw an interception. Okay, that's going to happen. You try to make a play. What I mean by taking care of the ball is the foolishness in the pocket, knowing that time is up and you got to throw it away and not try to make a play and fumble. I know that was an issue, not necessarily that much here, but I am from Boston and I follow the New England Patriots. I mean, that was a problem there. Yeah, there is some aggravation as far as his accuracy, but if you look at his numbers a year ago, percentage-wise, they were, you know, 10% better than Trevor Lawrence. I think also taking a shot, you know, does he take the easier pass? As I said, the dump-down valve as opposed to, you know, going for your primary target, your number one option. I think there was a little bit of that bothered Jacksonville a year ago. But I'll defend Mac Jones again for the third or fourth time. I mean, the offensive line could not pass protect, and you weren't able to run. So what was he supposed to do? I don't think it's a lack of confidence. I don't. I think he's got, you know, the closer mentality, the goaltender in the NHL mentality, that when he makes a mistake, he doesn't carry that over with him into the next series. He starts all over again. I think that's one of the brighter spots that I would say about Mac Jones. You know, talent-wise, he just hasn't done what they expected him to do when he was selecting the first round.
Rick Ballew in Jacksonville. Hey, man, great stuff. And so once again, you know, he's going to make a mistake or two, but boy, he'll sign your autograph after the game. Is that right?
He is. I mean, Mac is, I don't know how much you got a chance to go out and watch him practice, but he loves the game. He keeps everyone on their toes. And, you know, that's great in high school and college. Obviously, at this level, it's all about winning. The only way you can be a leader in the NFL is by winning. That stuff goes away at this level. But I at least think for this weekend, those guys will be fired up and play hard for him, because I bet they like him a lot in the locker room and in their building. But it's going to come down to whether or not he's productive. And if that's the case, who knows? Maybe you can win a few of these games until Purdy comes back.
Rick, thanks for making some time today, man. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, guys. See you in a few weeks.
Yep. Rick Ballew.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.